He descended into hell. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Clearly that vineyard wasn't unionized. I think they'd have had a bit to say about that. The parable that Matthew offers us this morning is a parable of the kingdom, one of a number in Matthew's gospel. And it doesn't take a lot of brain power to work out what the moral of the story is. Clearly it's about generosity. It's about God's generosity. And Matthew's point is that throughout the Old Testament, throughout the history of Israel, there have been times when people have been called, people have responded to God's call. And as the passing of time has moved forward through the prophets onwards, there have been people who have been nearer to this moment in history when Jesus Christ came, but that they are all going to be treated the same in terms of their reward, if you like, their reward to their faith. And the Lord offers us this parable to remind us too that whether you have been long or short in your pilgrimage of faith makes no difference. God does not give richer rewards to those who have been faithful all their lives than those who perhaps have turned to Christ, turned to God, even in the very last moments of their life. We are all equal in the sight of God, and God's generosity is overwhelming to us, that his love for us, his love for all people, is ever present, and that even if people reach death without having found God, without having a moment of faith in their life, there is still opportunity. I was intrigued to notice when I chose the text this morning, he descended into hell. You might be wondering why on earth has he picked that in a moment. That in our creed, in the version of the creed we say, actually that has been removed. It doesn't actually say the word hell. It does in the Apostles' Creed. But the church has always taught that when Christ died on the cross, between that moment and the moment when the resurrection was discovered, he descended into hell. And the church has always taught that what happened during that period of time, those 3 days between the death of the Lord and his resurrection, was that he descended to hell in order to rescue the souls in hell who had no opportunity during their life to have faith in him. And the old expression, some of you will know it, was that he harrowed hell. He harrowed hell. Christ harrowed hell. And harrowing, as some of you will know, you all know, is a process by which the farmer scratches the surface of the ground. He scratches it up with a harrow, a spiky thing. It's not ploughing, it's scratching. And Christ descended into hell to scratch the surface of the underworld. Sheol is the Hebrew word. It's a place of twilight. The place where the dead go, who are not in heaven, or indeed in purgatory on their way to heaven, but where they are lost. Christ went to seek the lost in hell. And one of the people in hell was Judas. Judas, who had betrayed him and who took his own life. You know the story. Judas, the only apostle who, for understandable reasons, has never been declared a saint. Lots of people have spent many hours writing and reflecting on the role of Judas in the story of Jesus. He betrayed him for reasons that we can surmise: frustration, disappointment, anger. But then he came to regret it. And he took his own life. And so the Lord descended into hell in order to save all who would turn to him. Because God's generosity is that great, even to Judas. And some church piety, of course, continues to see Judas as the hate figure, you know, the green spotlight, the hate figure of the New Testament. Of course, we do not know if Judas repented, if Judas turned to the Lord, if Judas had a return to his faith in Christ, which he had had as an apostle. We don't know that. That is between him and God. But we do know that Christ wishes to save all. And that figure of Judas, you might not have expected me to mention today, is a good example of the incredible generosity of God's love for all. I don't know if it is possible to eternally reject God. I believe it probably is. But God waits eternally, so who knows? I'd like to end by reading you a poem I came across during the week. It was written by someone called Ruth Etchells, and it's called The Ballad of the Judas Tree. It's actually a hymn, in fact. In hell, there grew a Judas tree, where Judas hanged and died, because he could not bear to see his master crucified. Our Lord descended into hell and found his Judas there, forever hanging on the tree, grown from his own despair. So Jesus cut his Judas down and took him in his arms. "It was for this I came," he said, "and not to do you harm. My Father gave me 12 good men, and all of them I kept, though one betrayed and one denied, some fled and others slept. In 3 days' time, I must return to make the others glad, but first I had to come to hell and share the death you had. My tree will grow in place of yours. Its roots lie here as well. There is no final victory without this soul from hell. So when we all condemned him, as of every traitor worst, remember that of all his men, our Lord forgave him first."